This is CliffCentral.com.
Here's our first report on the money. That's right. She's Anthea Gardner. She's right here with us. Hi, Anthea.
Good morning, guys. I'm well, thanks.
Good. I saw a couple of really encouraging signs when I did check in on my app over the holidays to see what was going on in the markets. Am I right?
Yes, you are absolutely right.
Yeah,
at the end of the year, we had a nice little bounce. Last week, very...
Are all the idiots coming back to the stock exchange this week? So we'll see it go back into the red.
I don't think you're allowed to talk about our investors like that.
Yeah. Not our investors. I'm talking about everybody
but
else.
But everyone else is coming back for sure. They'll be back this week. So we'll see what happens. Right. I mean, last week it started, but it was very quiet. You know, we didn't have a single $1 billion day of trade. I mean, everything was below $1 billion. But at least we got a positive close for the week. We were up about 0.5%. So not too bad. Naspers on Friday was up 5%, almost 5%. It had such a good run.
What for? Do you think it's people sitting around with their families on holiday who have
lots and lots of money invested
and they just see something and go, I'll buy some of that?
Naspers on Friday was a China story.
Oh.
So China has kind of stabilized the yuan. That's the first thing probably. And people were quite excited about that. The negative, the downside of China kind of stabilizing its currency was that Bitcoin was down, I think, almost 20% last week.
And Bitcoin went up so beautifully the week before.
And last year, in fact,
Lingham was on the phone to me. He was telling me, Bitcoin, you see.
I made you a millionaire.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, yeah.
Bitcoin was the best performing asset last year out of all the currencies, all the markets, all the commodities.
All right.
But the thing is with it, it's so volatile. I mean, I still don't really understand. And I don't really understand why, if the Chinese currency is stabilizing, Bitcoin should be falling 20%. You know, there's a real lack of kind of drivers for this, real fundamental, honest drivers for this asset class, if you want to call it that.
Okay.
For want of a better word, I suppose. But so last week, there was very little South African news, and it really was all about financial markets globally. Oh, and of course, Trump's tweets. That man.
Yeah,
so his latest victim is Toyota. They got hit last week. The share was down.
Wow, because this guy tweets and your shares go down.
Although, I must say, I did look at some of the shares that he has tweeted about, and because they've all fallen, you know, so it was Boeing, and then it was, there were so many of them. But they've all recovered, except, of course, Toyota now. Toyota's still a bit in the doldrums. So I think if you are a trader and Donald Trump tweets about a share, wait for it to fall, buy some, and then it should bounce. That seems to be how
it's
gone.
Let's make money off Donald Trump. I like this.
Yeah, so we should be, we'll just watch him. So really, we should be buying Toyota today then, huh?
Yeah,
because he said that he would tax them if they built a plant in Mexico. I mean, what is wrong with this man?
Well, he's trying to keep jobs in America.
Toyota's not an American company. Like, how dare he interfere?
But if they make some cars in America,
sure,
it's good for America. He's just looking after his own.
So, if you were an Asian company and the president of the country of America was telling you that he was going to tax you because you were building plants somewhere else, surely your first reaction would actually be to withdraw the plant where you're building in America.
No, because then you'll lose a huge amount of business from Americans because they're patriotic, they've got a huge economy, and they buy tons of cars.
Yeah,
it's
but
bad for business.
They're so patriotic. Don't they buy American cars mostly anyway?
No, it's more the '80s that did that.
Is it?
No, they'll buy German.
And their cars, yes,
I think if you're Toyota, you build in the US and Mexico anyway. Like, screw what Trump says.
But like, I know this whole thing about, you know, they took our jabs, and you don't want to have that kind of stuff happening. But at the same time, if there's a reason why they're building the plants in Mexico, not because of the fajitas and that kind of stuff, it's because the cars then become cheaper. If you're building in America, you get more expensive cars. So the greater scheme of things, do you want more expensive cars or do you want 700 jobs?
And then maybe don't
export. I want to make America great again.
And maybe don't export the Mexican-made cars to the US, but rather to the rest of the world who doesn't care.
You said Mexican-made. I've got a Mexican-made. Her name is Kate Stanza. She's great. She's amazing. Tremendous maid.
Okay. Talking about the US, we also had non-farm payrolls in the US on Friday. They only created 156,000 jobs. They were expecting to create 175,000. Initially, the market came off, but then they realized that the number before had been revised upwards, and so the market carried on higher. But
yeah, Liz, wouldn't we love to add 100,000 jobs?
Come on. Absolutely. And that's for the month.
Jeez.
And so the one of the big concerns in the last couple of years has been that even though they're creating jobs, is that there's no wage growth. And someone was telling me on Friday that if you had lost your job and you were kind of middle or the median of paid jobs in the US, you lost your job in 2008, 2009, and you suddenly got a job back now, the wage pay was so much lower that you had to take three jobs just to make up for the one job that you were that you had in 2008, 2009. And so that has been the real issue. But at least last year, we saw about 3% in U.S. wage growth, so how much they get paid. And I think what this does is it bodes well for the fact that the U.S. Fed said at the end of last year that they're going to hike the interest rate three times this year.
Right.
So, of course, you know, that kind of puts Trump on the back foot because he needs money if he's going to make America great again. And this money that he needs is going to cost him more. So this is all kind of going to come to a head, I guess.
Who is this Janet Yellen anyway?
Who cares, right?
Yeah, who is she?
Yeah, and then just like a couple of other things. Disney, one of them. I see one of the big banks has upped its price target on Disney share price. It's a share that I've liked for a while now. It is up 20% since kind of end of October of last year.
Because of Star Wars.
For sure. And they did another great thing, right? And then they were worried about distribution. They also got Netflix involved. And there was a lot of talk about who was going to be the new CEO, and take over from Bob Iger. Sheryl Sandberg's name was thrown into the pot.
She's the Facebook CEO.
But she said no, and it looks now like they might go after Reed Hastings, who's the founder of Netflix. And there's a lot of talk about this. And in fact, it's interesting because just at the end of last year, George Soros, you know, the big investor who got the call right on the pound in, I don't know when it was, 2001. Yeah. He actually dumped all his Disney stock at the end of last year and bought Netflix and Alphabet and General Motors. So the fact that Disney now suddenly is on this kind of upward trend looks interesting to me, and hopefully it'll continue.
All right. That's it.
Yeah, there's not much else going on at the market at the moment.
That's okay for today. Yeah. Thank you, Anthea. We'll catch up with you tomorrow morning at quarter to seven or thereabouts. Have an excellent start to 2017 and bring us lots of good news about the world of investing, please.
Indeed, I will try. Thank you very much.
Excellent. Thank you. This is CliffCentral.com.